Well, it's getting much calmer now in Albuquerque, New Mexico, after Donald Trump's speech convention. There was a civil disturbance outside. They tried to even break in to get into the convention center there. They were unable to do that. A couple police officers hurt from tossed rocks, and one person was arrested. Police had to disperse some tear gas canisters, but things are calming down now. But man, I'm telling you, what's it going to be like in November? What are the conventions going to be like? What's going to happen? People are just upset. I got to tell you, today, I'm back here in Los Angeles. The worst driving I have seen in years. I don't know what's going on with people. Do you see it wherever you are? I mean, cutting in and out, rude, tailgating, screaming. It's unbelievable. I've never seen people so tense in all my life. I don't know what it is. Anyway, we're going to get to your phones in a second. We've got open lines for the next couple hours. Skype is open at George 97313, and we've got your text messages as well. Okay, welcome back to the open line portion of Coast to Coast. Now, we're doing this every week now, at least on a Tuesday or a Wednesday. We will do a couple hours of open lines for you. And by the emails I get, people love that. You love that. So that's great. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Dolores in Hamburg, New York. I believe you were waiting since last hour, Dolores, weren't you?
Yes, I was,
Well, thank
except
you
I
for
became
holding.
disconnected.
Oh, no. Well, here you are.
So I am supposed to give you this information.
All right.
I heard you mention with the gentleman before the doctor, my sincere condolences to the loss of his son. I have to say that first.
Thank you.
And then, of course, Memorial Day is coming up. So my sympathy to anyone who has lost anyone, and remember our soldiers. That's the other thing,
Good for
which
you,
I know you
Dolores.
do. Thank you. Are you going to do that program again?
You mean my special, a little bit here and there? Yes.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for that. But what I wanted to say was about the Big Bang Theory. Science is science and religion is religion. And the Big Bang Theory was devised because Einstein was very close and good friends with a French Jesuit and totally intrigued with Catholicism. So because they could not say God or they could not say creator, Einstein and this French Jesuit priest came up with the term Big Bang Theory, and they laughed about it. Now, this was the same thing. You know, they have two telescopes in Arizona.
Yeah.
The new one was done with the University of Arizona and the Jesuit telescope place, but it's a very in-depth one where they're seeing deeper. Well, that originally was named Satan. I don't know if you realize that or not.
Satan?
Yes,
They
but
called their telescope observatory Satan?
it was an acronym, S period A period T period A period N
Yeah,
period.
what did it stand for?
I don't know, but the German astronomers were joking and making fun of the Jesuits with their telescopes, and they coined the term, so I would have to find out a German astronomer who would tell us what the acronym stood for. But it is an acronym, S period A
Oh,
period.
I think it was. Wait a minute. Some people would say that it was called Lucifer. Lucifer with the dots in between. Not Satan, but Lucifer.
Well, originally
That's
that's
even
what it was,
worse.
and then it got changed to Lucifer. So I don't know what the joke is, but there is always a sense of humor with people are in sort of groupies and clubs that they play on each other.
That's kind of weird, isn't it?
People have a sense of humor, whatever they're doing, don't they?
Yeah, but I wouldn't call my telescope system Lucifer or Satan, not if I was at the church.
No, I don't. No, that was the German astronomers, not the Catholics.
Oh, that was theirs.
It
No,
was.
I think it was the Vatican's one in Arizona.
You're talking about the Arizona one, and I have
Yeah.
yet to find out why they changed it.
Right, but they are the ones that had that weird name.
I'm going to have to check into that.
Check into it, Dolores, and
I will.
Report
now,
back to us.
George,
yeah.
The other thing I would like to say is you said, made mention of everything that's going on, and there is a tremendous attack on Christ, on our Lord Jesus Christ.
Who's attacking him?
Well,
besides some of the people in the Middle East, of course.
Well, no. There are so many people that are confused and deceived. And, you know, there are so many interesting things in terms of details. For example, you want to know the Antichrist? Go to the Bible and go to John 6:6:6. And then you read backwards and forwards, and you find out the truth of what it is.
Who's the Antichrist?
People who do not accept Christ. They don't accept the body, blood, soul, and divinity.
So no one person, you're saying?
No. It is not necessarily, and that's the same thing. There are nine hierarchical structures of angels, and each of them, from the lower to the higher order, have a purpose. And the sense that everyone has of a great something coming, it will be the great chastisement. It's not going to be the end of the world. Everybody's saying, oh, the end of the world's going to come. It will be a great chastisement because unless we give to the, as the great Aristotle pagan said, the one, the true, the good, and the beautiful, God himself, his honor and glory, we'll bring stuff on ourselves.
Well, we just may. We just may. You know, every civilization, every culture has felt that they were in end times, all of them, and we got through it. So maybe we'll get lucky, too. Let's go next to Mike in Connecticut. Hey, Mike, welcome to the program.
George.
Hey there.
How are you?
I'm good, Michael. How about you?
Good. I'm growing a mustache.
Hey, I love it. That's a new trend.
Listen, I'm going back a couple months ago. You had a lady call that was flirting with you. Do you remember?
Gosh.
Asking you if you were married or...
So many of them try. Oh, yeah, I remember her.
God.
Oh, yeah.
It was hilarious.
She was relentless.
She was relentless. She wouldn't get up. She wouldn't let go of you. But anyway.
And I didn't get a picture either. Darn it.
She didn't send you a picture?
I didn't get a picture.
Mm-mm. Oh, my God.
Oh, well.
Hey, listen, I just wanted to make a comment about Albuquerque.
Yeah, what a mess.
You know what? If these people are illegal immigrants and they're arrested, they should send them back.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
No questions asked.
I'm all for immigration. This country was built on legal immigration, but people just don't seem to get it. We're talking about illegal. You know, there's so many people that just think you can't, you know, have laws anymore, that there are no borders, that people can come and go as they please. No other nation does this. Try walking into Russia, see what they do, or China.
We've got illegals. We probably have thousands of terrorists or wannabe terrorists.
Anything could happen. I'm in shock that we really haven't had as much go on as we should.
I'm in shock that we even have the candidates running for president that we do. Well, you know what?
Wow.
I pray at least twice a day, and I hope my prayers are answered, I'll tell you. And you run a great ship there, sir.
Okay, thanks, Mike. I answered a few emails today from someone who said, why aren't you doing more on the presidential election? Gosh, I try to stay out of that stuff. I mean, you know how this show was developed and what it was. So we touch on it, you know, because I want to, and I'm interested with the human mind and how it does and reacts with what it does. That's important to me. So we'll do stuff like that. And then don't forget our news segment. Of course we'll do it. You know, we'll do the primaries and we'll do it all. When we get to the campaign, we'll even invite the two major candidates, maybe three with the libertarians that they vote on this weekend. But I don't want to just do pure political interviews. You get that during the day. Glenn Beck does it. Rush does it. Hannity does it. They all do it. Savage does it. I want to leave nighttime to a little different. So that's why I back off on it. But the unusual, the bizarre parts of it, I like that. That's fun. So, you know, we'll touch on it. You can't forget it. It's too important to us. Robin in New York, it's your turn. Hello, Robin. Welcome.
Hello, George.
How
Thank
is
you for
Robin?
taking my call.
Good.
Can you hear me?
Uh-huh.
Okay. I wanted to discuss what Matthew was talking about, talking to his son, automatic writing. I've had experience with that with my mother. When she lived in Puerto Rico and went to the library, there were very few books in English, and she happened to pull one out that was on automatic writing, and it was in English. She started doing automatic writing, had pages and pages and pages. I was about 10 or 11 at the time. And she felt, after a while, you know, at first it told her about Scripture, and she had never read the Bible. And the stuff that it wrote was identical to things that were in the Bible. And then after a while, doing the automatic writing, it became aggressive, and it threatened my sisters in my life.
Oh, jeez.
And, yes, and she got scared.
Who wouldn't?
And,
anybody
yeah,
would. Yeah.
Yes. And she went into we lived in this house that was over 100 years old, and their bedroom was huge, and she went in there by herself. My stepfather was gone, and she more or less, she didn't pray. I don't know if it was praying or she just asked God. She said, I want to know if this is right or wrong, if this is good or bad. And she had a pen and a paper ready, so because she expected it to come out as automatic writing.
Right.
And so she asked, is this good or bad? This horrible, terrible smell came into the room, sulfuric, and it wrote, who would you say that I am?
Oh, boy.
And she said out loud, something bad, something not good. And the next thing it wrote was, and I believe it was the Lord, wrote, tell it to go away in Jesus' name, and it has to leave. And she did, and the smell left, and a beautiful smell came into the room. And it said, who would you say that I am? And she said, this must be God. And the smell stayed for a while, and it said to her to continue to tell it to go away, and it had to leave, and that it was not of God. And she stopped doing automatic writing at that time.
And did it stop?
Yes, it did.
Well, see, that's a miracle, because most of the time it does not stop. At all. We have text messages. Tom, what do you have back there?
George, for you from Gerald in Mississippi. Why is it that some people get to communicate with the deceased and others never get to? Is it a certain power a person has to have?
That's a great question. That's a question that I ask a lot of the mediums that we've had on the program, that why does it come through to some and not to others? In my particular case, I've lost two dear family members, as you well know. And I've had no communication at all. Now, I have not made the big effort to do it. I mean, I haven't gone to a medium or something to try to, you know, communicate with them.
Besides a medium, how would you make an effort? How else
would
you do it?
Well, some of the techniques that Matthew McKay talked about, you know, special meditating and channel writing and things like that.
Yeah.
I've not done that yet. You've lost several family members. I don't think you've done that either, have you?
I haven't. I choose to see things, signs.
You might remember a couple of years ago. I'm going to bring this up.
Sure.
You sit in a booth across from me in a different room. He's not in my studio. And I can see him. And behind him one night when I'm doing the show, I saw a kid, you know, a boy, and it was strange. And it looked like when I'm looking at Tom through glass, so there's a reflection. So Tom kind of looks like a ghost anyway to me. I mean, he doesn't look solid because of the layer of glass that's there. So that's what this apparition looked like behind him. I thought it was somebody who was in the studio who was talking to him from our engineering department.
I remember you saying that.
And you and I are now convinced that it was your little brother who died.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, he was behind me, so I couldn't see, but...
All right. Thanks, Tommy. Next up, let's go to John in Minot, North Dakota, east of the Rockies. Hey, John, welcome to the show.
Hey, George. Say, tonight on CBS, there was an episode of Person of Interest, which is about an artificial intelligence that the government can spy on everyone and listen in.
Uh-huh.
There was one episode called QSO. It was about a talk show. Now, they have these people that invented another AI, which the government kicked out, and they're trying to protect other people. Well, a number came up, and it was a talk show guy, just like you, talking about UFOs and conspiracies and all sorts of things. And he found a hidden signal in the AM. You probably mentioned this before, on cell phones where it had the static across the speakers.
Uh-huh.
And it was actually sending out
code, yep.
To the, they call them Samaritan agents, because the machine is called Samaritan, and they actually sent agents.
And these codes are constantly going out, too. It's not just like a one-time thing.
Mm-hmm. And you could actually hear it, and the talk show guy ended up, they told him, don't do it, you're going to get killed. And he said, well, I'm going to do it. And all of a sudden, his receptionist came back after she quit, and she heard the code to kill him, and she ended up killing him at the end of the show.
Jeez.
Yeah, I thought, wow. I mean, I've heard those signals before, you know, when I used to have a Nextel phone, but yeah, this is a great show.
Oh, the codes are real.
Yeah, but yeah, that show, I tell you, I wish it would stay on, but the CBS canceled it.
Oh, no. Well, they canceled because of ratings, unfortunately.
No, it was actually financial. So.
Really? Yeah, but ratings mean financial. You know, if the ratings were good, they'd be making more money with their advertisers. Okay, hey, thanks. I appreciate that. So I never have time to watch all the television that I used to watch when I was younger because I'm doing this. But I did see over the weekend Revenant with Leonardo DiCaprio. Interesting movie. Not a lot of dialogue in it. A lot of action, a lot of, you know, acting, physical acting. It was different. It was different, but he's a great actor. I'd love to get him on the show. Leo, if you're listening, call in. I'd love to get you on the program one day. I'd like to get Tom Hanks on the program as well. Wouldn't he be a great guest? Let's go to Stephanie in Clovis, California. Hey, Steph, welcome to the show. What's up?
Hi, George.
Hi there. Baby's crying in the background.
Yeah, she just woke up. Daddy's getting her right now.
How old is she?
She's going to be 2 June.
Ah, what a great age.
Oh, she's awesome. I just want to say your show is just so awesome. And I actually spoke with you a few years back. I called in, and it was October 30th of 2012, I think.
Close to Halloween.
Yeah, and you had the Ghostbuster gals on.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, so I was listening. I was a new listener, and I was just fascinated. So I called up. And I kind of said basically that I could feel things, kind of like things around me sometimes, or certain like vibes from people. And
are you still doing that? That's still happening?
Oh. Yeah, well, it's grown. That's what I was going to give you an update. At the time, one of them mentioned if I had heard of indigos. And I said, no, I had never heard of them. And they said basically, you know, well, it sounds to me like you're an indigo. And you should embrace it, or, you know, check it out, because it's not going to go away.
You have tuned yourself up, Stephanie. You're getting better and better and better, and we'll be back in a moment. Okay, George Norrie back with you, and open lines here on Coast to Coast AM. Let us begin with Scott in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Hi, Scotty. Go ahead.
George, yeah, this is Ed. Listen, you know, I just wanted to say something, you know, about this thing that took place in New Mexico. There's a guy named George Soros. I know you've heard the name before. And what he does, he goes around the world destabilizing different areas depending upon the agenda. Now, all these protests that we have had in this country, the Wall Street protests we've had, the Ferguson protests, there have been radicals that have been paid to go in there and help stir up.
Yeah, well, there's no doubt about that.
Yeah, it's all being done by design. But now let me say one more thing here. You know, everybody is hammering Trump, and the more they hammer this guy, the more I think he's the man that ought to be in there. But let me say this. There's a video. I wish I could get you and Tom both to check it out. It's called Trump 2000 Election Prophecy, A Fireman Had a Word of Knowledge from God. Now, take it with a grain of salt. Listen to the video and take it with a grain of salt. But this fireman said that God is going to anoint Trump to bring this country back from the brink of destruction. Now, God can use anybody he wants to use. Trump is not a nice guy. Yes, he's brash. He's rough around the edges. He's a little tough guy, kind of like Putin is, right? Putin loves him. Putin thinks he's a great guy. Well, even they got a lot in common.
We shall see.
Well, you know, and whether this will happen or not, but it goes on to say the reason God is going to give this country one more chance is because of the Christian brothers and sisters in this nation that have went out to try to evangelize, to bring as many people as they can to know Christ, and this is the reward God wants to anoint the United States with, is because of its diligence, its Christian brothers and sisters that have really tried to bring people to Christ, right? Now,
whoop, I may have disconnected you. You're still there?
Yeah.
All right, good.
And, you know, and if that is true, now you can just listen to it and take it with a grain of salt. And it also goes on to say that the Obama administration has it planned to create a martial law event so he can stay in here for a third term.
Well, now we heard that about Bush, too, didn't we?
I don't remember if we did or not.
Yeah, we did. We did.
But, you know, whether he could do that and get away with it or not, I don't know. But if there's any chance Trump can pull it back. But, George, let me ask you something. Why is it all these political hack shows? Now, you, when I say political hack shows, you know what I'm talking about.
Man, I know. Don't knock them, though, because I know them all. They're all my buddies.
So. Yeah, and I like Glenn Beck and all them guys, right? I listen to them. But when you mention the word global establishment to any of them, they immediately clam up. They don't want to say anything. Why is that?
Because I don't think they all understand the global society that we're in. Alex Jones does, you know, listening to this program you do. But most of the mainstream talk show hosts who are very good at what they do don't understand the Illuminati, the Bilderbergs, and, you know, what's going on. They don't. I think Glenn is as close to that as any of them, by the way, to understanding that. Eddie, thanks. Appreciate you being on the program. We now go to Darcy in Reno, Nevada. Hello, Darcy. It's your turn. Darcy?
Hi, sorry. I was just making myself a sandwich.
I almost hung up on you. See, you thought you could make the sandwich and get on the show at the same time.
I know. What was I thinking?
But you made it. Hey, at least you're not like the guy who waited on hold for an hour, and I went to him, and he was flushing the toilet.
Oh, no. How embarrassing.
I know it. He was trapped, and we were trapped. It was a classic,
incredible
classic
timing.
Radio. What kind of sandwich are you making?
A bologna sandwich.
A bologna sandwich. All right.
All beef bologna.
Oh, that's good. That is. How old is the kid?
5
years? What's he doing up so late?
No, he's in bed. The sandwich is for me.
Oh, okay. I thought it was for the kid.
Up here.
All right. So, so what's going on?
I have a question for you about vibes. Not to be totally off the wall, but, you know, when you meet people, I consider myself to be someone that's a very good judge of character.
Uh-huh.
And you meet someone and you get a vibe.
Yes, you do. Initially. Instant.
You get a feel from them and you have that automatic judgment, right?
Yep. I call it the 5-second rule. You meet somebody and within 5 seconds you generally know if you're going to like them or not. Generally.
Right. But then say you're in a working situation and you're forced to be around them further than the 5 seconds and it turns out that you're wrong. They're actually a decent person,
mm-hmm.
or they're actually who you thought they are. I mean, what is that vibe? Is that just a mental, automatic, you know?
Well, it's one of two things. You have the ability to receive. They have the ability to give, all right? They're transmitters, you're receivers. And some people with this vibe that you say are negative. They have this negative energy, and you feel exhausted being around them. You don't want to be around them. You don't think you like them. Some of them are nice people, but they have this innate ability to just draw your energy, and that happens. That happens a lot. You've been around those kind of people, haven't you?
Absolutely. I've been in the service industry for years, but is that something that is...
I think you're born with it.
You're born with it. Not everyone has it, though.
Yes.
I mean, it's a sensitivity of sorts.
Oh, yeah. It's part of you as a human being. You have this protective system within you that does that. And I think it's a mechanism to allow you to judge people. And you're probably right most of the time. Like you said, you could be wrong sometimes, but you're right most of the time.
Initially.
And it helps you. It's like a lion in the jungle when it senses something, right?
It's not like a cognizant thing, though. Like, it's not anything out of the normal.
No, I think it's very normal.
So most people have this sense of people.
Yes, they do. They do. And the people who are very good with other people can judge them better than most.
So me and my bologna sandwich aren't special. That's what you're telling me, Greg.
You're very special, and go back to your sandwich. Enjoy it, and enjoy the rest of the show.
Thank you.
All right, very good. We got another text message. Tom, what do you got?
First, I want to ask you something. I don't know if I want to know the answer. Speaking of vibes, she was talking about, you remember when you first came here and we had that big meeting in the conference room?
Yes.
What kind of
vibe? I came in late,
You were late.
Because the driver was showing me around. He says, well, you haven't spent a lot of time in L.A., but he was told, get Nori here by a certain time.
I remember when you walked in, what kind of vibe did you get?
Oh, I loved it. I loved the
right
people.
Away?
I think,
awesome.
I think it was cool. You were different. Of the staff that I met,
that was a nice
you,
way to
Dan,
say
and a couple other people that work here or used to work here, you came up to me. And you're showing me around the studio and all that. And the chief engineer at the time felt that was his job.
Lark.
To show me around the studio.
Oh, man.
And really got ticked at you.
Radio politics.
And I felt sorry for you that night. I said, here's my guy. Here's my producer. And he's showing me around. And he's all excited about this show because you guys all came from a different show.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
I mean, had I not moved here and... had we not brought the show here, there was a high likelihood you would have been out of work.
No, Dan and I would be bagging groceries about now.
Nothing wrong with that.
No, not at all.
Pays well. Probably pays more than what I pay.
Maybe.
But I did feel sorry for you that night because you were so excited about giving me this tour. And they came and, grabbed you and said, no, that's for us to do.
That was your first learning of radio politics.
Yep. Well, so, how did you feel that night when he did that? Did you feel bad?
Did I feel bad? No, I felt mad.
You were mad.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
You didn't show it.
No, I couldn't.
No, you didn't show it.
You can go postal.
All right.
Anyway, so this one's from Lori driving on the 405. Hey, George, I look at these people who protest and I see so much ignorance. Do you worry about the future of our country?
I always worry about the future of our country. I worry about that. I've got 6 grandchildren. I've got 3 kids. I deeply care about the future for them and what they do. I do everything I can to keep them secure and happy. Sometimes maybe more than I should, but that's the way I am. I just hope we need to bring this country back again. We need to do smart things for the people. We need to let people enjoy their money. Instead of taxing them to death, we need to, get out of their way with all this privacy invasion. That may not be able to be stopped as technology continues to get bigger and bigger and bigger. But we need to do something about creating terrorism, having people hate us so much, and fighting real terrorism. I mean, it's a double whammy. See, I'm convinced, and you might think I'm nuts, that if we stopped all terrorism, that the special interest groups that profit on terrorism would do something so we continue to use them, weapons and things like that. I see. So there's no winning that war.
No.
You know, from one, you may stop the real terrorists, right? The crazed fundamentalists, the people who have this bizarre ideology. But then if you did, the weapons makers and those people, the bomb makers, they're going to create terrorism just to sell their stuff. Yeah. I'm convinced of that.
So no one, didn't you have a dream once about L.A. being attacked?
Attacked by tornadoes.
Is that what you were saying? Yeah. I vaguely remember
three
this.
Tornadoes. Just
weird.
Yep. All right. Thanks. Sharon in Tulsa, Oklahoma. It's your turn. Hi, Sharon.
Hi.
Hey, what's up?
I have a couple of questions.
Okay.
I was going to sit up all night and listen to this to that man, you know, that you had on.
Yeah.
And I fell asleep.
You fell asleep?
Yes. And then I wake up and he's like last in the 30-minute call.
If you were a Coast Insider, you'd be able to podcast it.
That's true. That's true.
99 cents right now.
That's not bad.
No.
Anyway, I was wanting to ask you, what did he say about his son seeing God or something about God?
Well, he said that his son had told him through these writings that God is all of us. And I'm going to paraphrase that, that there's no like individual up there or this oneness. We're all in it together. We are all God in this powerful consciousness.
Well, my second question is about you.
All right.
I feel like you're kind of a sensitive.
A sensitive?
Yes. Psychically, that you pick up on things.
I do. That's true.
I mean, it's kind of obvious. Do you do that in your personal life, too?
Yes, I do.
You know, like...
I don't plan it.
My kids don't feel well. I'm for you before you ever really know.
Absolutely.
Okay, so that's considered a sensitive.
Yep. I have a friend of mine. She's been a family friend for years. She's approaching 80 in December. She had a dog that died 15 years ago, totally distraught. So I bought her a new puppy, and she called him Georgie. And they just put Georgie down after 15 years a few weeks ago. I felt something was going on with her. I could sense it. I felt it. And then I got that call that they had to put the little dog away. 15 years is pretty long for a dog, but it's like losing a kid. But I sense that, and it's happened to me all the time. Jeffrey's in Pennsylvania. Hey, Jeffrey, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hi, George. How are you?
Good, Jeff. How are you?
Very good. First-time caller, long-time listener.
Thank you, sir.
I have a simple question, I think. It goes to the protesters at the Donald Trump rally.
Uh-huh.
My question is, you have a group of individuals saying that they want to be Americans and accepted as Americans. Why would they fly in the Mexican flag?
Good question.
I mean,
good question.
Not too long ago, I went to New York City. I took my kids down to Times Square, and we all hopped in a cab. And as I'm driving out, a group of Muslim people had formed. And they were fenced in, and their protest was very peaceful. But they had an American flag on the gate, right in front of them, so you could see, you know, the American flag. My point is, they're sort of helping Mr. Trump prove his point.
If you want to be an American, be an American. Be proud of the flag. Learn the language.
Assemble.
And do what you need to do the right way. But, you know, they're doing everything the wrong way. I don't even want to call them protesters because I don't even think they know what they're doing. You know, when you throw rocks and things at police, that's not protesting.
I agree. They were violent, and they did it underneath their own nation's flag.
Which is embarrassing.
Yes, yes. So it only stresses Mr. Trump's point. It would be nice to know. I think our borders should be open, but they should only be open to people who want to be here.
and there's nothing wrong with that. If people want to come here legally and have a better life, you know what? Far be it for us to tell them, no, you can't do that. We should make every effort to help them.
Absolutely. I agree 100%. But, there's a lot to clean up, isn't there?
Yeah. Oh, there sure is. All right. You take care of yourself, Jeff.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Okay. I might have time for one more quick call before the break. Let's go to David in Anchorage, Alaska. Hey, David, let's see if we can get you in here.
Hope it's not too quick. First little housekeeping. First guest there. I was last February 10th. I was in the hospital with 6 broken vertebrae, a crushed left leg.
What happened to you?
I was hit by a Mexican national driving a semi in the United States.
No license.
I don't know. He was driving a semi. I don't know. The lawyers are still talking this out. But he was a Mexican national, and for sure, and he was driving commercially in the United States. And this company was notorious for doing bad things. My arm was broken. I had woke up from basically being knocked out a few times. And
you should have been killed. My God, you lucked out.
And I slipped through it.
No.
70 miles an hour, and I was working on my little truck standing beside the road.
Oh.
He fell asleep, and his log said he was driving for 3 hours before he fell asleep of exhaustion, which, you know, his logs were all sunnied up.
Well, maybe he had another job and he was doing that earlier. But David, I'm going to put you on hold and get you right at the top of the hour, okay?
All right.
So we'll do that. I don't want to lose your call. And the rest of you, we've got another hour of open lines to go right here on Coast to Coast AM. I'll be right back.